today's verse is quite a famous verse, a very, very important subject matter. It's on the board, I presume, correct? Number 13. Tulayama,
Tulayama,
Navena Pi,
Navena Pi,
Na,
Na,
Sagam,
Sagam,
Napuno,
Napuna,
Napunar,
Napunar,
Bhavam,
Bhavam,
Bhagavat,
Bhagavat,
Sangi,
Sangi,
Sangasya,
Sangasya,
Matyana,
Matyana,
Kim,
Kim,
Utashishtaha,
Utashishtaha,
Tulayama Ladena Pi,
Tulayama Ladena Pi,
Naswaga Napumar Bhavam,
Naswaga Napumar Bhavam,
Bhagavat Sangi Sangasya,
Bhagavat Sangi Sangasya,
Matyana Kim Mutashishaha,
Matyana Kim Mutashishaha,
Tulayama Ladena Pi,
Tulayama
Naspagam na punarbhavam,
Naspagam na punarbhavam,
Bhagavat Sanghi Sangasya,
Bhagavat Sanghi Sangasya,
Madhyanam kim mutashisha,
Madhyanam kim mutashisha,
Tulayamaladenati,
Tulayamaladenati,
Naspagam na punarbhavam, Bhagavat Sanghi Sangasya,
Bhagavat Sanghi Sangasya,
Madhyanam Kim Mutashishaha,
Madhyanam Kim Mutashishaha,
Tulayamaladenapi,
Tulayamaladenapi,
Naspagam Napunabhavam,
Naspagam Napunabhavam,
Bhagavat Sanghi Sangasya,
Bhagavat Sanghi Sangasya,
Madhyanam kim mutashisha,
Madhyanam kim mutashisha,
Tulayama,
Tulayama,
to be balanced with,
Lavena,
by a moment,
Api,
even,
Na,
never,
Swargam,
heavenly planets,
Na,
nor. Apunaha Bhavam, liberation from matter. Bhagavat Sanghi, devotee of the Lord.
Sangasya,
of the association. Matyana, those who are meant for death.
Kim,
what is there?
Uta,
to speak of.
Asishaha,
worthy benediction. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The value of a moment's association with the devotee of the Lord cannot even be compared to the attainment of heavenly planets or liberation from matter. And what to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which are for those who are meant for death. Purport. When there are some similar points, it is possible to compare one thing to another. One cannot compare the association of a pure devotee to anything material. Men who are addicted to material happiness aspire to reach the heavenly planets like the moon, Venus, and Indraloka. And those who are advanced in material philosophical speculations aspire after liberation from all material bondage. When one becomes frustrated with all kinds of material advancement, one desires the opposite type of liberation, which is called apurnabha, or no rebirth. But the pure devotees of the Lord do not aspire after the happiness obtained in the heavenly kingdom, nor do they aspire after liberation from material bondage. In other words, for the pure devotees of the Lord, the material pleasures obtainable in the heavenly planets are like phantasmagoria. And because they are already liberated from all material conceptions of pleasure and distress, they are factually liberated even in the material world. This means that the pure devotees of the Lord are engaged in a transcendental existence. namely in the loving service of the Lord, both in the material world and in the spiritual world. As a government servant is always the same, either in the office or at home or at any place, so a devotee has nothing to do with anything material. For he is exclusively engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord. Since he has nothing to do with anything material, what pleasure can he derive from material benedictions like kingship or other overlordships, which are finished quickly with the end of the body? Devotional service is eternal. It has no end because it is spiritual. Therefore, since the assets of a pure devotee are completely different from material assets, there is no comparison between the two. Suta Goswami was a pure devotee of the Lord, and therefore his association with the rishis in Naimisharanya is unique. In the material world, association with gross materialists is veritably condemned. The materialist is called Yoshitsangi, or one who is very much attached to material entanglement, women and other paraphernalia. Such attachment is conditioned because it drives away the benedictions of life and prosperity. And just the opposite is Bhagavat Sanghi, or one who is always in the association with the Lord's name, form, qualities, etc. Such association is always desirable. It is worshipable, it is praiseworthy, and one may accept it as the highest goal of life. End of purport by Srila Prabhupada. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnanjana Shalakaya Shakshur Militam Yena Tasne Shirabhinam Mukam Kuroti Vachalam Pangam Lam Gayate Yat Vipatam Vande Shigurundi Natarinam. Oh, Srimad Bhagavatam, in one sense, is to give us this opportunity to get Bhagavat Sanghi, the association of both the Lord and the Lord's devotees. The association of the Lord's devotees really means the association of the Lord. And they carry, just like we see when Vidura returned and asked Napura, is that one? First departure. And reverses that. And Yudhisthira Maharaj, chapter where Yudhisthira Maharaj receives Vidura after his journey.
113.10,
isn't it? Something like that.
Yes, 113.10.
Yes, a wonderful verse spoken by Maharaj Yudhisthira, also similarly famous verse. Bhavadvita bhagavata stirta bhuta svayam vibho tirti kurvanti tirtani santakstena gadavita. My Lord, devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified. Because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart, you turn all places into places of pilgrimage. It's the secret. They carry the Lord within their heart. They're not just, it's not the externals, the internals. The assets of the pure devotees are their internals. It doesn't mean physical internals. Sometimes you may mistake the pure devotee as a physical, in a physical sense. You may try to identify a pure devotee physically. And of course, there may be some symptoms, some symbols, some ideas there, but that's not the real assets of a pure devotee. What are the real assets of a pure devotee? What are their assets?
What they speak.
Excuse me?
What they speak.
Well, that's based on what? What is that based on? What they speak, of course, is a sign, identifies them. They probably say, you know, you can tell somebody by what they say, what they speak. The fools, they don't speak, you never find out. But when they speak, what is that based on? It's like if you invest money in something, or you show money or something, it's based on the fact that you've got money, isn't it? But it's based on the fact you've got something. What's appeared already got?
So what Krishna
in the heart. Stated here, they've got Krishna. Well, we've all got Krishna in the heart, so what's the difference? Everyone's got Krishna in their heart, know it or not know it.
Realization.
Pardon?
Realization.
They have realization, no doubt. Yes. And realization of Krishna within their heart, what else do they have? Pardon? They have what?
Emotion.
And devotion to Krishna. And full of devotion. What else? Knowledge of what? Spiritual knowledge, realizations, devotion. Anything else?
Love.
Love for Krishna. But there may be different levels of pure devotees. And there are different pure devotees. We can see nectar of devotion. Many of you have studied your Bhakti Shastri. You will have studied nectar of devotion. What is the first chapter called? Oh, pure devotional service. So even in the sadhana stage, before the awakening of bhava, if you want to speak of prema, there are characteristics which are defined of those who are actually pure. And what are those characteristics? Pardon? Yeah, it's the removal of all kleshas, miseries, causes of misery, and so on. Faults, pleasure, name, shubhada, or auspiciousness, and awakening. And of course, it begins the Bhagavatam of nectar devotion. Basically, it's based on that person, Yavadasita Shunya, Jam Kamatinavita, Makulya Krishna Shilim, that they're cultivating. Activities, devotional service favorable to Krishna, and they have no other desires other than devotional service to Krishna. So on the other side, they have no other desires. We can see in the Bhagavad Gita, I don't know if you have Bhagavad Gita, must be there. Can someone bring maybe a few books? Who's going to be the books today? Leaning backwards and forwards, books. There's no place to put books here, so it's one at a time. Ladies can do that right on the doorstep. They do an idea, you can sit down if you want. You're a lady? Are you there, Diana? English, by the way. But the ladies can do this job, they also can read. And then see. I mean, well, tapping the nail on the head here, but where in the Bhagavad Gita does Krishna explain the qualities of devotees? Chapter 12. In what sense? In what sense? Pardon? All those who are dear to me. There's some beautiful verses there which describe how those who are dear to Krishna, the devotee, his asset, as we said, he has Krishna in the heart. Everyone does, but the difference is that they're dear to Krishna, because Prabhupada says that every man, he's very, you know, maybe very charitable, but he's especially charitable to his devotees. They're very, Krishna himself says, although he's not envious of any Samohan Sarvabhutishan, you know, Priyata, he's not envious of anyone, he's equal to all. That, you know, obviously those who devotees, those who are devoted are very, very special to him. They're very special. There's nothing, it's not discriminatory. It's only natural that one who is, you know, reciprocating with you, or somebody who's very close, is naturally going to have a bit of a deeper relationship with, and reciprocate back. So Krishna does too, because they're possessed of certain characteristics, certain qualities, certain behavior, certain Sarubhushanam. That's where Sarubhushanam. We'll hear that probably in a minute. From the third canto of Bhagavatam, spoken by Lord Kripadeva. But here in the Bhagavad Gita, we see in the 12th chapter, we don't have time to read all these wonderful verses, but you can read them. Who is dear to Krishna? How you can be dear to Krishna? One who is not envious. They have no envy in their hearts. Pure devotee is not envious. Hands up, all the pure devotees here. Please, we'd like to meet you. And of course, you won't put your hand up. Even if you're a pure devotee, you definitely won't put your hand up. If you put your hand up, you're probably not a pure devotee. So you're all pure devotees. Very good. He's a kind friend of all living entities, not just his team, his group, and everyone else is a, you know, devil or whatever. He's a friend to everyone. Does not think himself a proprietor. You're not a proprietor. And is free from false ego. Equal in both happiness and distress. Tolerant, satisfied, self-controlled, engaged in devotional service with determination. Mind and intelligence fixed on me. These are just some of the points mentioned in this chapter. You can see these are very extraordinary qualities which are very rarely found. The great soul is very, very rare. Very, very rare. Doable, huh? Very, very rare. And you see again, where else is Krishna mentioning the qualities of these great personalities? Pardon? Chapter 9? Whereabouts in chapter 9? Tell me. 9:14, okay, we're good. Oh yes, very good. Well done. Very nice verse. Where's Mahatma? Okay, we have, where's Mahatma? Is he here this morning? There he is. What are the qualities of the Mahatmas? Very good. It's under the protection of Radharani. Extremely good point. O son of Prita, 13 and 14. Those who are not deluded, the great souls are under the protection of Radharani, the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional services, and the characters, they are fully engaged. They are not wasting any time. That's one of the characteristics of Sharanagati, of course, not to waste any time. Well, actually, it's a characteristic of ecstatic devotional service. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original, inexhaustible. And what are they doing? They're engaged in devotional service. And what does Krishna say in text 14? What you just, someone just mentioned. Text, what does he say? What are they doing? What are they doing?
Always chanting my
glories. Yeah. They're always chanting my glories. Not just that, they're chanting with great determination. What else? That determination, of course, is another indication of the other side of the devotion. Vyavasa Yatna Ka, would hear some other noble deity. If you want that determination, Vyavasa Yatna Ka, that determined devotional service, then Boga Ishvara, one has to be free of Boga Ishvara. This desire for material enjoyment, wealth, and all these things. To come to this. Yeah, they're not attached to all these things. You okay there, Mahaprabhu? Giving blessings to everybody there, or waking them up. Probably the best kind of blessing, trying to wake them up. That's what we do when we associate with the Mahatma, they wake us up. We're sleeping in this world. The Mahatmas come in this world to wake us up. They don't come in this material world to keep us asleep. Some of them, they give material benedictions. That's not really what they're meant to do. I mean, people often ask them, Swamiji, please bless me. Please, this is what you want. Bless me. Get money. Get money. Bless me. I want to be healthy. My mother never to die. Bless me, please. My child live forever. Whatever it is. you know, materially speaking, as natural people have these things, but no knowledge, you know, no understanding of who they are. They think their body is so naturally aligned with bodily thinking. So the materialists, as Prabhupada mentions here, they're always after, eager after material benedictions. They're always after material terms. And they think that, you know, spirituality is basically a kind of a means to achieve material advancement in various ways. Prayer, religion, all basically focused on material, economic advancement or social sense enjoyment of various kinds, going to heaven. All these things are within the bracket of karma, material returns. So they're on the path of karma kanda, but they're not really following properly, so they remain on that. They don't just go round and round in a cycle of birth and death. For most people there, so the Vedas mostly deal with this. Mostly deal with the three modes of nature. They're not really even aimed at liberation. The next thing they are is when people get fed up with that, after all their, you know, sacrifices and prayers and, you know, different things they do to attain the heavenly plans, when they get fed up with that, then some people, they do decide to try to get rid of it all, and they take to the path of usually counting generalization, but the path of aspiring for liberation from it all. Get out of this place. But no, we tried, it's not what we want, it's horrible. So then they try to get out of it, bring this misery to an end. And they usually aspire for liberation. So then, next stage, if it's some philosophical, upanishadic direction, it's mostly, not entirely, but mostly emphasizing the first step of Brahmaiti, Paramitmiti, Bhagavaniti, Shokite, the Brahmaiti section, or understanding of the absolute truth only. And even if there's paramenti or supersoul understanding, it's usually with that intention of becoming one with him, one with the supersoul. There's very little emphasis, as we heard yesterday. Narada Muni chastised Vyasadeva for not sufficiently emphasizing the Bhagavan. Bhagavan, a relationship with Krishna, eternal relationship, not just some time-serving relationship within the realm of Maya. But the eternal relation, devotional service, is eternal. Some people take devotional service as the means to attain impersonal liberation. Many people, they chant, many, even Swamis and Gurus, Mahatmas, whatever they are, so-called, they chant Hare Krishna and different mantras like that, but their intention is to become one with God. Mostly, they're not really Bhakti Yogis. They're actually using Bhakti Yoga for another purpose. Very common, but the devotional service is not something which is a tool, a means to an end. It is, you can say, but that's not its main or prominent characteristic. It is a characteristic of the eternal nature of the soul to serve Krishna. So the real man must awaken that natural characteristic within our hearts. And if you see, let's have another look at another verse here. They're also bowing down before me and perpetually worshipping devotion. But if we go then to the, say, the 16th chapter, what is that called? Divine and, what is that? The one? Pardon? Demoniac natures. Hands up all those who have divine character. Those who have demoniac characteristics, hands up. Goodness gracious. You've got to be careful who we're associating with. The emphasis of this verse is to take association of the great souls, the Bhagavans. And here we find them. Only Asuras are sitting amongst us. You see, here we are, the Supreme Personality. These are the characteristics of those who are godly, the godly men. Transcendental, daivin, transcendental. Those who are born godly qualities. I'm not saying born necessarily when you come out the womb, that may be there, of course, but those who endowed with is those characteristics Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, which establish religious principles as the behavior of the devotee, not just what they say, that's also there, but the most important thing is their behavior, how they behave. The Supreme Personality of God has said fearlessness, purification of one's existence, cultivation of spiritual knowledge, charity, self-control, performance of sacrifice, study of the Vedas, austerity, simplicity, non-violence, truthfulness, freedom from anger, renunciation, tranquility, aversion to fault-finding, compassion for all living entities, freedom from covetousness, gentleness, modesty, steady determination, vigor, forgiveness, fortitude, cleanliness, freedom from envy, and from the passion for honor. These transcendental qualities of the Son of Bharat belong to godly men endowed with divine nature. And that's quite a mouthful. Quite a lot of qualities there. And these are only some. Qualities that the devotee are, in one sense, unlimited because they're connected with Krishna, whose qualities are also measured in one sense, unlimited in another. But there are many places where Krishna mentions, and I'm sure there's some others here, in the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna mentions the qualities of the pure devotees, because he mentions the qualities of Brahmins and this and that, but the qualities of the divine, is there their assets, are there these qualities which they possess because of their connection with Krishna. You can take the Bhagavad Gita away. You give me that Chaitanya Charitamrita which I gave you. Thank you. We find, for instance, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his instructions to Sanatana Goswami, that he also, I mean, many places instructed on the importance of association, but there's one place where he specifically mentions some of these key verses. These key verses. Here, text. This is the chapter 22 of the Madhyalila, text 51. If you want to follow on your iPhones, iPads, or iWatch, whatever you've got. This is text 51. I just read the English because of time. Unless one is favored by a pure devotee, he cannot attain the platform of devotional service. To say nothing of Krishna bhakti, one cannot even be relieved from the bondage of material existence. So everything rests on the mercy of the Krishna only bestows his mercy, as we heard, maybe that was in Sydney, how Ajamyo got the mercy of the devotee in order to become delivered from the Yamadutas. It's not by chance that that happened. So it's by the blessing of the devotee. Hey, that's a kind of liberation when one's free from sinful reactions. Oftentimes when liberation is mentioned, may refer also to freedom from sinful reactions. It's like devotional service at different stages. There. So, and this is a very important verse. Unless one is favored by a pure devotee, he cannot attain the platform of devotional service. He has to be favored. Otherwise, where from that comes? Devotional service is caused, it's not caused by karma, it's not caused by anything really. Even if we have a desire, sometimes we will have a desire in the material world that suddenly we've never heard about before, and the understanding of it. Even if we do, it's not caused by that effect. Devotional service is caused by bhakti, it's caused by bhakti. It's not just by chance, it's by presence of bhakti that bhakti may awaken. Bhakti is there in potential, but it's awoken in the presence of bhakti. And if it's not bhakti, if it's mixed, you'll get what you know associated with. Basically, Hiranyakashipu Vacha, he gave this in Prabhupada. It's in the Bhagavatam, it's right there. Killing of his brother Hiranyakashipu, who calms down all the relatives and the family and worried. And he speaks some good philosophy. In one of the verses he said, association is just like a crystal. Whatever you put before it is reflected in the heart. So similarly, whatever association is, those qualities, and to associate with the main quality, the primary quality Prabhupada describes
you know, there is a Vaishnava, a devotee, is that they have this a burning or this constant attraction to glorify Krishna, to speak and hear and chant about Krishna. They're always, as the verse in the Gita says, Satatam Kirti Atamasa Chantas Chirati Devatana. They're always chanting Krishna's glories, constantly. This is their quality. Now, they may be saying other things, but it's always in that, for that purpose, to put Krishna in the center. They're always engaged in Sankirtan. Sankirtan means always putting Krishna in the center, connecting everything to Krishna. That's Sankirtan. Glorifying Krishna through everything and everybody. They put everything, Krishna in the center, everybody. They're the pure devotees of the Lord, the Bhagavans. So we associate with the Bhagavan. We mean those qualities which are dormant within us, they also awaken in our association. If we keep that association of the pure devotees of the Lord. So this is time to read. One has to associate with a sadhu, such a Mahatma, who has accepted Krishna as the supreme source. Without being a Mahatma, one cannot understand Krishna's position. A Mahatma is rare and transcendental, and he is a pure devotee of Krishna. Foolish people cling to Krishna. We should take shelter of such a Mahatma and ask for his causeless mercy. It's only by their mercy, Yashira Prasada, what about Prasada, Yashira Prasada, Navatika Toka, only by the mercy of the devotees can we get the mercy of Krishna. It's not possible. Narottam Das thing. Chariya Vaishnava Seva Nishtaya Payika Keva. That no one can attain to that platform of devotional service unless they're blessed by a pure devotee. Not possible. You have to get the blessings, mercy of the pure devotee of the Lord. That's the process. Krishna doesn't bestow any mercy on anyone. You have to get. This is also part. It's part. If we don't like it in this world, we're not going to get far in the spiritual world, because it's not like you go to the spiritual world and say, here I am, Krishna, what are you doing today? Do you want to have a game of chess? Or whatever you're into. How about cricket? Okay, let's go. Here's my baby, Krishna. Hold my baby for me. It's not like that. Not that you go right in front of me. Maybe by the mercy of Radharani and the devotees, they might push you there, but it's not like that. Spiritual world, everyone is in a position to discipline succession is there. Everyone's working under Lord Chaitanya's instruction is I am pro nachanara katina pi vaishona shudro. That's true. We're not Brahmin, Kshatriya, this, that, the other. And what are we can do Prodyanikila Paramanand Panamita Vipurpi Bhattra Bhada Kamanam Dasa Dasa Dasa. What are we? We're not this Brahmin, we're not Kshatriya. If we think we're a Brahmin and Kshatriya, we are not a Mahatma. If we think we're a Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasi, or Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, or Sannyasi, we're not any of those Brahmachari, none of those things. And what are we? Nothing. Nothing. People think we're there, that's because we're nothing. We don't exist. We're God. What are we? Servants of what? Servant of who? Servants of the servants. King Kulashekhar in his prayers, what do you say? I want to be the servant of the servant, 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 servant. Servant of the servant. Imagine if you told your mother, she asked you, what would you like to be when you get up and you grow up? I want to be a servant of a servant. What? What did you say? A servant of a servant, servant, mother. I want to be... What nonsense are you talking? Where did you get that from? Isn't it? Imagine how your parents would feel if you said that. I want to be the servant of a servant, 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 servant. Does anyone teach this? They teach this at school? University? They have degrees? They have servants' degrees or master's degrees? Which one do you want? guys go after master's degrees. You've got to get a sir. You can't go back to Gaudi with a master's degree. You've got to throw it in the bin. You only go back, not even with a servant's degree, it's got to be a servant of the servant. Without their mercy, you can't go back. It just doesn't work. It's not a mechanical thing. Krishna's not interested in mechanics. Not interested. Now, in Prabhupada writes, first canto of Bhagavatam also, what is that? He says, the awakening of our dormant affection for Krishna does not at all depend upon the mechanical process of devotional service. Doesn't depend at all. No, doesn't depend, he says, at all. It depends wholly and solely upon the mercy of Krishna. And the mercy of Krishna means the mercy of Krishna's devotees. That the only qualification required basically is mercy of the devotee. Guaranteed if you get the mercy of the devotee. Whatever else is going on, if somehow or another, it's like the dog of Shivananda saying, if somehow or another one becomes pleasing to a pure devotee, guaranteed you will go back to God. That doesn't mean to say we should take it lightly and not care less about everything else. The mercy of a pure devotee has to be obtained. It's not a light thing. His mercy one time, Prabhupada said, Kripa Siddhi, he said, my Kripa, my mercy are the instructions I'm giving you. That way you can get my mercy. I'm trying to follow, sincerely trying to follow Prabhupada's instructions. In our own society there are many great devotees, but not our business to relatively compare. But everyone has to understand that we're all really working on Shri Prabhupada. He's our acharya, he's our shelter, he's our guide. We have to associate with him through hearing his books, through hearing his lectures, hearing his tapes. Those who help to bring us to the Prabhupada's lotus feet and the lotus feet of Krishna, of course, are also in the same path. But primarily we should put this in the center, probably given his book so that we can associate with him and Krishna. So let's see what Bhagavad Gita says next. This is a famous verse, and this is spoken by, it's an address here, to a king named Rahugna. So who is speaking? Just Bhagavan. O King Rahugna, without taking upon one's head the dust and the lotus feet of a pure devotee, a Mahatma or a Mahajan, one cannot attain devotional service. Devotional service is not possible to obtain simply by undergoing severe austerities and penances, nor by gorgeously worshipping the deity, or by strictly following the rules and regulations of the sannyas or vihasta order, nor by studying the Vedas, submerging oneself in water, or exposing oneself to fire or scorching sunlight. In previous processes, people used to do these things. That verse is in the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, and I'm in the conversation between Jodhavata and Maharaj Rahugana. But this is the principle. Taking on the dust, and some devotees go a little bit overboard here, taking on the dust from the lotus feet of a pure devotee. They don't go overboard, they go underboard, but they may not always understand what that means. In terms of even a pure devotee of the Lord, it becomes a little bit overdone sometimes. But what to do? The real pure devotee of the Lord and taking the dust of the real pure devotee of the Lord to take their instructions as one's life and soul. To make that one's life and soul. The instructions of the spiritual master. Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur Prabhupada was inspired by this verse, Vyavasyatna Kapudhiri Kekuru Nandana. This was his inspiration, right? Basically, giving that impetus, that strength to preach Krishna consciousness. And there it describes how Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur emphasizes the instructions of the spiritual master, all that matters to me, whether I get there, my sadhana, my sadhya, my practice, and my goal. They're everything to me. If I go to hell or heaven, it makes no difference. The instructions of my spiritual master, all that matter. Assuming that the spiritual master is actually connected to Krishna in the right way. But that's the essence of the mercy of the spiritual master and how one gets the mercy of Krishna. The one makes his instructions, just to Devi Purana, Tiyas, Hadi, one makes those instructions with life and soul, firm faith in the instructions of the spiritual master. This is the ticket back to Godhead. It's not even, you know, some, maybe due to good karma or whatever it may be, we may be good at this and that, we may have, you know, we may have acquired some assets in a previous lifetime also, which are good. But that in itself is one's sincere and say adherence or dedication towards the spiritual master and his instruction or pure devotee. Now the Lord Chaitanya quotes another famous verse. Now this is in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and this is instructions of Narada Muni to King Yudhisthira. Unless human society accepts the dust of the lotus feet of a great Mahatma, devotees who have nothing to do with material possessions, this is another nibbha to be heard yesterday, nibbha to Krishna there, without material possession or, let's say, attraction towards material control of any kind. Devotees who have nothing to do with material possessions, mankind cannot turn his attention to the lotus feet of Krishna. Those lotus feet vanquish all the unwanted miserable conditions of material life. This verse was actually recited by, I think, by Pallad. At that time, Hiranyakashipu became very angry and asked Pallad why he had become a Vaishnava. In answer to this question, Pallad Maharaj recited this verse to the effect that one cannot become the Lord's devotee without receiving the mercy and blessings of another devotee. That was Pallad Maharaj who was just spoken in that section of Bhagavatam, Narada Muni instructing Yudhisthira. The verdict of all revealed scriptures, now this is a famous verse and many of you know it, is that by even the same word is mentioned as in today's verse, Lava Mantra. Loving on. Lava Mantra, what is that? What is this verse? Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Koi. Lava Mantra, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. What does this mean? The verdict of all revealed scriptures is that by even a moment's association with a pure devotee, one can attain all success. A lava has nothing to do with lavatory. What is a lava? See, it maybe means lavatory, it means a place you should only spend one lava, not more than 1/11 of a second. Maybe 11 comes from lava. Similar word, lava, 11. It's 11th of 1 second. You should do your business and get out. Don't hang around. Devotees have. Of course, that doesn't mean, like the Mayavad, that get out of this material and bring it to an end. No. As Prabhupada mentions here, the Mayavad is they want to get rid of it. The karma is materialist. They want to enjoy it. They want to increase it, even in the name of religion. And the Mayavad or the impersonal, they want to name religion, they want to get rid of the material world. The devotee is neither, because it's not ours to get rid of. It's not ours to enjoy. It belongs to Krishna. So the devotee tries to utilize this material world in Krishna's service, and that's just the same as the spiritual world. Once everything's engaged absolutely in Krishna's service, one's already in the spiritual world. It's not a question of going somewhere. One's already there. It's a matter of, you know, let's say, variety of relationship, but it's already there. We're already in the spiritual, we're already in the liberated stage. Don't have to, it's already in the liberated stage. One's no longer under the influence of the modes of nature, one's no longer under the grips of karma. That's free of the material conditioning. It's karma abundant and free. So that is the value, and then another the verse, actually, it's the verse we spoke today. Lord Chaitanya quotes the very verse, which is today's verse, Jisnam Goswami. Same verse. Duliyam Lavenapi Nisvanagam Napunadu. You've got that there. So those are just some of the famous verses. There are many others. We can go now. Someone can take this, please. And one of the ladies, can please bring the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam part, I don't know, two, I suppose, if you've got the new version. Part 4 is the old one. Quick as possible, please. In the fifth canto, we see another famous verse spoken by 552. Who spoke that? 552. Oh, just got their iPhone to know. Just be tapping. Well, it's okay. Very good. No, I'm not saying you shouldn't. Thank you. These are the books. Let's see here. This is Titi. 25th chapter, here we are. This is the glories of devotional service. Who is Lord Kapila Dev speaking to? Who? His mother. What was her name? Tomorrow's Mother's Day. Correct? Tomorrow we worship Srimati Radharani. And all the men should cook tomorrow and serve all the ladies. Is that right? Isn't that? That's correct. That's what it should be. Otherwise, the mothers should cook tomorrow. Tomorrow they have a day off. All the men should serve the ladies' prasadam. All the husbands should serve. The children should serve their mothers' prasadam. Make nice things for their mothers. Like that. Serve the cow. The mothers come in many ways. Wife of the guru, if the guru's got a wife. Make wife of the Brahmin. Nurse, the earth, mothers are there, the wife of the king, let's see, this is where we begin here, famous verses, very important, and I recommend you all to read this. It's like there's certain sections of the Bhagavatam which are like, you know, everything in the whole Bhagavatam, but certain sections they kind of like the second chapter, for instance, of the first canto, like that. Prasangam ajam pasham atmana kavayo vidhu seva sadushu krito moksha dwaram upavatam. You know these verses, I'm sure. Every learned man knows very well that attachment for the material is the greatest entanglement of the spirit soul. But that same attachment, when applied to the self-realized devotees, opens the door of liberation. Purport. Here it is clearly stated that attachment for one thing is the cause of... Oh, I won't read the purport, we don't have time. But the point of this verse is, it's a prelude to the next verses, that attachment, every living entity, no living entity can be without desire. It's the nature of the soul to be attached to something. We're attached to Brahman, we're attached to material energy, we're attached to the super soul, we're attached to Krishna. Somehow or another, everyone's attached to something. Nobody is desireless. And people say we have to become desireless, but that is also a desire to be desireless. It's also a desire to merge into the Brahma Jyoti and remain there. No living entity can be without desire. There's a nature that no mean to existence if there's no consciousness. Desire. Attachment is on the platform of consciousness. We simply have to change this. By changing the direction of our attachment, and the consciousness becomes purified. Where attachment is for the material, then our consciousness becomes covered with material pictures. A material perception, we could say, of how we see everything. If we continually try to, let's say, channel through our senses and then the mind, relationship with Krishna or devotees of Krishna, then gradually our consciousness starts to develop the proper perception. We start to see in the proper way as the Mahatmas see. We may not see, but by practicing the process or the life that they lead, following in their footsteps, whatever is relevant, then gradually our perception also starts to develop the correct perception of seeing Krishna in the center instead of ourselves or somebody else. But see, that the Mahatma teaches us to put Krishna in the center of everything. Center of everything, because he's also there, you could say, simultaneously with Krishna, but not separate from Krishna. Then it becomes a cult. If all we were thinking, oh, I don't care about Krishna, I only care this, that, the other, that's not quite right. You may say that sometimes, but that's not quite right. The pure devotees want us to actually have Krishna in the center of our lives. That's their objective. And the pure devotee is also there simultaneously, but not separately from Krishna. Krishna is never separated from his devotees. The next verse, which is a famous verse, these are some of the symptoms of a great devotee. I mean, there were many of you know it. Tatikshava, how's it go? Tatikshava kurunika surida sarvadehinam ajata shat Travakshanta Sarabhasarubhushanaha. This was mentioned earlier. Sarubhushana. What is Sarubhushana? What is that? Sarubhushana.
Yes. Sublime characteristics. The symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living entities. Similar to the Bhagavad Gita, he has no enemies, he is peaceful, he abides by the scripture, and all of his characteristics are sublime. I'd like to read this purport, but it's quite long. Read a bit of it. His concern is to enlighten people in devotional service. That is his mercy. He knows that without devotional service to the Lord, human life is spoiled. A devotee travels all over the country from door to door preaching, "Be Krishna conscious. Be a devotee of Lord Krishna. Don't spoil your life in simply fulfilling your animal propensities. Human life is meant for self-realization or Krishna consciousness." These are the preachings of a sadhu. This is another characteristic. Prabhupada in one lecture in New Vrindavan, he said, the symptom of one, the prime symptom, three times he said, the prime symptom of one who loves Krishna is that he wants to see his holy name spread all over the world. He is not satisfied with his own liberation. He always thinks about others. He is the most compassionate personality toward all the fallen souls. One of his qualifications, therefore, is karunika, great mercy to the fallen souls. While engaged in preaching work, he has to meet with so many opposing elements, and therefore the sadhu or devotee of the Lord has to be very tolerant. Someone may ill-treat him because the conditioned souls are not prepared to receive this knowledge of devotional service. They do not like it. That is their disease. Sometimes people don't like medicine. They don't like the cure for their disease at all. The sadhu has a thankless task of impressing upon them the importance of devotional service. They don't like to restrict themselves. And the doctor sometimes says, no more smoking. No more sex life sometimes. Oh my God. Impossible. They say, no more sex, otherwise you'll get in trouble. The sadhu has a thankless task. Sometimes devotees are personally attacked with violence. Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. Haridas Thakur was caned in 22 marketplaces. Lord Nityananda was hit by Jagannath Madai. Still they were tolerant because their mission was to deliver the fallen souls. One of the qualifications of a sadhu is very tolerant and merciful to all fallen souls. He's merciful because he's the well-wisher of all living entities. After all, preaching means to bring pleasure to Krishna. And when Krishna's parts and parcels are separated, that means they're not giving pleasure to Krishna. So the devotee wants to increase Krishna's pleasure by reconnecting the parts and parcels with Krishna, to bring pleasure to Krishna. It's not all about just being, you know, goody-goody, or just trying to give happiness to another jiva. That's secondary. The primary thing is to give pleasure to Krishna by reconnecting his parts and parcels with him to increase his pleasure. That's sankirtan. He is not only a well-wisher of humans, but a well-wisher of animals as well. It is therefore said, sarvadehinam, all living entities. Not only does a human being have all living entities are in this material world, they're all part and parcel of Krishna. They're all devotees in their constitutional position. So to re-establish them in their constitutional position, devotee can't tolerate. On the other side, he can't tolerate to see that the parts and parcels are also in a distressful condition, being endowed with similar qualities to Krishna in minute proportion. They're also experiencing this same principle of wanting to be loved and to love and to be happy and so on. And when they're in this material world, they're frustrated. They're forced to suffer. So many could go on and on and on. Then another nice verse. Such a devotee engages in staunch devotional service to the Lord without deviation. For the sake of the Lord, he renounces all other connections, such as family relationships and friendly acquaintances within this world. Engaged constantly in chanting and hearing about me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
The sadhus do not suffer from material misery because they are always filled with thoughts of my pastimes and activities. It's like Haridas Thakur, Jesus Christ, and said, there may be appear to be suffering because they're being tortured or killed, but internally they're not. They're absorbed in Krishna. They're just thinking compassion for these people. They're more tolerant than a tree simply tolerates. The pure devotee is more tolerant than a tree. He doesn't just tolerate, he blesses those who are trying to abuse him or her. He blesses them. He simply prays for their welfare. He's not thinking of these people, I'll get my own back on them if I ever get out of here. He's not just thinking, let me tolerate this and hang on. But he's actually blessing them at the same time. He's, please shower your mercy on these people, my Lord. Please don't punish them. Please, they don't know what they're doing. Please have mercy on them. This is their mood. Because they're absorbed in Krishna. They're not thinking of the material world. Oh, why is this happening to me? Why is Krishna doing this to me? Oh, why am I not getting respected? They're getting respected. We think so many things. Oh, it's me in the center. But don't think like that. Oh, my mother. Oh, virtuous lady. These are the qualities of a great devotee who are free from all attachment. You must seek such attachment to such holy men, for this counteracts the pernicious effects of material attachment. This is the process. To search, to associate by hearing from the great souls. The process of hearing from these great devotees is the process of change of heart. This is how our consciousness becomes the words emanating from the lotus mouths of the spiritual master. Guru Mukha Padma Vakitite Kodiya Vikya. May my consciousness be purified by the words emanating from the lotus mouth of my spiritual master. This is the process. And of course, it's not that we just leave it at that, we put them into practice as best as we can. This is the process. To hear attentively from the pure devotees of the Lord, hear from Srila Prabhupada attentively. And then another famous verse, some of you may know this too. Satam prasangam mamavirya samvido bhavanti vitkana sayana kataha tajoshanaras prapavagavatmani shudanatir bhaktir anukramishyati. In the association of pure devotees, in the association of pure devotees, everyone in this movement, now I don't know, it's at the fourth canto somewhere, Srila Prabhupada describes how he's established this Krishna consciousness movement to provide this facility where people can get the association of pure devotees. Now we have already admitted, frankly, that we're not, in one sense, pure devotees. But because one is serving the pure devotee, one is serving the pure devotee, it's like if you're a representative of the government, if you represent the government, the person you're dealing with have to treat you just like you are the government. So we may not be a pure devotee, but we're trying to represent Srila Prabhupada. So in that sense, one is considered also, in that sense, to the degree that we're representing Srila Prabhupada in the disciplic succession, a pure devotee of the Lord. So the idea is, in this Islam society, that everything is geared around that. To please Krishna according to how the pure devotees teach us how to please. That's why even in things like what we cook, how we offer it, what we do, is taught by the pure devotees of the Lord. Because maybe at this stage, maybe another stage, it may be different. When one comes to the Raghunuga platform, things may be different. But at our stage, Vaidhi Bhakti, we have to follow these principles, because that means we're following the instructions of the spiritual master, that means we're taking shelter of the lotus feet of the spiritual master, that means we're eligible to receive Krishna's mercy. We have to do things according to their directions. In this way, one is associating with a pure devotee of the Lord. So that is the process, our stage. So Prabhupada has created this movement. He hopes that every devotee will also become like this, become pure devotees in the sense of following the pure devotional path, even if we're still not yet self-realized, so to speak. One's nonetheless situated in the boat of pure devotional service. And anyone who comes to the movement will also be able to get aboard that pure boat and cross over the material ocean of birth and death. The idea of this movement, and anyone who tries to think, although the words are specifically written, aloof from this Krishna consciousness society. It can mean wherever there's Krishna consciousness, we're not a cult, we're not, you know, we don't have a monopoly. We shouldn't think we do either. Prabhupada has given us the best opportunity, and without a doubt, he's the most secure captain of the ship, we could say. But nonetheless, if others are also engaged in pure devotional service, the same principle applies. It's not our business to judge them. But the principle is that we have to stay in the Krishna consciousness movement, wherever that movement is Krishna conscious. Not just staying in the movement, it's a Krishna consciousness society. The society of those who are engaged in Krishna consciousness. And one who tries to, who thinks that they can become Krishna conscious and remain aloof from the society is living in a great hallucination, brothers. Great hallucination. You cannot become Krishna conscious without the association of both, because you cannot get the blessings of Krishna without their association. Without the blessing of Krishna, one cannot possibly, how can possibly one be Krishna conscious? It's like cancer or something. Ravanas and cancers. It's not their business. Business is anukulyena, favorable. Krishna anushilanam. Anushilanam refers to cultivating by following or in the instructions, sattavite, in the association of devotees, or under their guidance. Sadhu sangha. The two things are there. Asat sangha, associated. After the instruction gives us these 2 points, favorable and unfavorable. Unfavorable. Unfavorable is to associate with worldly minded persons. Satsanga. No, was it? Asatsanga. Associating with worldly minded persons. We have to give that up. A Vaishnavachara is asatsanga. We have to give up this worldly minded association, whether it's in our mind or around us. And we have to take sadhusanga, association of devotees. And this is the change has to be made. We want to have a change of heart. Where do we get to? In the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and the heart. You have to hear the association of devotees. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation, and thereafter he is freed and his attraction becomes fixed. Then real devotion and devotional service begin. So we didn't finish the verse of Rishabdev in the fifth canto, 5:52. If you want to look it up, very famous verse: Mahatsevam dwaram ahurivimukte tamodwaram yoshitam sangi sangam. Prabhupada quotes the Yoshit. Sanghi Sangam, the association of worldly minded persons, persons who are attached to sex life, to the opposite sex, women in the case of men. Attached, if a man is a devotee, being attached to that is different. If they're devotees, it's different. Husband and wife are devotees is a little different, but it shouldn't be for the selfish, sensual reasons. Merely for the fact that they're awakening our Krishna consciousness, we may be attached to. Husband, wife, whatever it may be, but not for the sensual purposes. So one is attached to the sensual purposes, then tamodwaram, the gate to hell is open. And those who are saved, those who are serving or associating with the mahats, the mahatmas, the great devotees of the Lord, those are actually devotees of the Lord. You get what you associate with, that's how association works. Mahatsev dwaram, the gate. Mukte, to freedom from this bondage is open. Then there's the different mahats. Sometimes the person is also mahat, they're also beyond material life. Only by associating with them we will not attain Krishna prema. We have to associate with the devotee of the Lord, pure devotees of the Lord. They're very important. The whole process Srila Prabhupada has given us of this Krishna consciousness movement is to give us the opportunity to associate with the mahats. The Bhagavatam is full of association of mahatmas. And the program in the morning, we're associating with each other, we're associating with the mahatmas in the sense of following their instructions as best we can. We're associating with Tulsi Devi, Vishnu Prabhupada, and so on and so forth. And this is the process to keep this association as much as we can. So then during the day when we're working or whatever we're doing, we can start to see what we're doing and everything around us in relationship with Krishna. This is also the means to work is Krishna. The work itself is provided by Krishna. The fruits of the work are for Krishna. These people are Krishna's parts and parcels. The brain, this intelligence to do this is all coming from Krishna. The raw materials are all coming from Krishna. They all belong to him. So wherever we are, we can see every situation. The suffering I'm getting is Krishna's mercy, just to purify me. Otherwise I should have had to suffer so much more than I'm suffering now. I deserve to. Everybody always sees everything in relationship with Krishna. This is what the Mahatmas teach us, to put Krishna in the center of our lives always, no matter what's going on or where we are. This way we can keep the association of Mahatmas in our heart. We can also start to carry, so to speak, Krishna in our hearts by always seeing everything in relationship with Krishna. Our tendency is only we see some things in relationship with Krishna and some we don't. Some we see in relationship to me and them. This is the illusion, I am mine. You have to realize everything belongs. It's Ishavasya Midam Sarvam Yatkinchaja Gacham Vidamas. Ishavasya is where everything is centered on Krishna. Hare Krishna. So we'll finish there. Hare Krishna Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Any questions? Tolerated my association for an hour and a half almost. You must really be asuras. You must all be asuras to associate with me, unless you're trying to save me or something. My only attraction to this movement is to try to eat as much as we can, especially when no one's looking. I don't believe in Krishna, he's there at all, so no one's looking. Don't worry about him, he can't see it. He's not there. The other attraction I have is I very cleverly maneuver myself into this position so I get lots of, it's a good pay, it's a good income. Many people are without a job nowadays, but I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good wage. I mean, if you want a job, you can go to the job center and say, I want to become a guru or a sannyasi. What's the wage? How much do I get? Upstairs if anyone wants to give me any money. I promise the bank account is very secure. There's more to it than that, I can tell you. There's more to it than Mahaprasada and Dakshin. One kick, I'll kick it all out. Boom. You just have to take shelter. We're not taking shelter as much as we could, probably. Try to take more shelter of the Holy Name under the way, under the protection of the pure devotees of the Lord. Sometimes it's said, and again I'm looking for that reference, what the body wrote to me. It said, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Maharaj said 99% of our devotional advancement depends upon this point, the mercy or the association of the pure devotee. And we can understand that. It would be nice to know exactly that's true. We have nothing except the association of the devotee. We have nothing except for the mercy of the spiritual master. If we have, what do we know? How can anyone speculate and expect to become Krishna conscious? Impossible. Not possible. It's only the mercy of the pure devotee is directing us how to please Krishna. That's causeless. We don't deserve it. We haven't asked for it. It's not anything to do with karma. It's not by chance. It's by their mercy that they are the friend of all. And they're trying to distribute this mercy to every living entity. Is eligible in that sense to receive this mercy. We just have to take it. Just take it. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Oh.